to me for your burning love. 'Cause I'm the last of the red hot mamas.
She may have called herself the last of the red hot mamas, but Sophie Tucker was among the first of a special brand of leading ladies on the American stage in the 20th century. Born in Russia in 1884, Tucker immigrated to Connecticut with her parents. She went from singing in her parents' restaurant, then on to vaudeville, then the Ziegfeld Follies, and finally to international acclaim for her big voice, big personality, and even bigger ambitions.
I would stand up in the narrow space by the door and sing with all the drama I could put into it. At the end of the last chorus, between me and the onions, there wasn't a dry eye in the place.
That isn't the actual voice of Sophie Tucker, but of Sophie incarnate, the actress Mary Callanan, who currently takes on the lead role in the new production, Sophie Tucker, The Last of the Red Hot Mamas. It's playing now at Watertown's New Repertory Theater, and welcome to Radio Boston, Mary.
Thanks, Magna. Thanks for having us here today.
Also with us is Kate Warner, Artistic Director of the New Repertory Theater and Director of Sophie Tucker, The Last of the Red Hot Mamas. Kate, welcome to you as well.
Thank you.
Well, why don't we start out by helping people who may not be so familiar with Sophie Tucker's career. Tell us a little bit about who this woman was.
Well, the title of the show is The Last of the Red Hot Mamas, and she was a vaudeville performer. She actually started out singing in her parents' restaurant in Hartford, Connecticut, took off for New York and Broadway. She became famous for her body performances, for her really loud belt. She was an amazing singer, and it was her one-liners and some of her slightly off-color material, shall we say, that gained her renown.
She was born in Russia, if I understand correctly, and immigrated to the United States with her parents. And Kate, you were mentioning that she was a belter in terms of the power of her voice. And one of the reasons behind that, Mary, is that she was a rather large woman.
Well, I think they're separate and equal
okay.
assertions. However, probably part of the reason she became so well known is this was before microphones. This was before amplification in theaters. So people like Sophie Tucker, people like Ethel Merman, if you could, quote, hit the back wall with your voice and do it consistently, as they both did, then you'd probably go far. And she was not a slender person, so she probably had a big set of lungs. Like myself, when you have a big pair of lungs, you can sing much louder than other people.
Well, it may work to your advantage today as a performer, but I was fascinated to read that for Sophie back in the early 1900s, being an ample woman with a powerful voice was something that producers kind of said, well, people aren't going to want to see you perform. And so they asked her to perform in blackface.
Yes.
That's right.
Well, and it was a kind of common occurrence that in the early part of the 20th century and the last part of the 19th century, it was quite common for both African-American people and Caucasian people to perform in blackface. I don't know why they made black performers put on blackface, but they did. Everybody did. She was considered too fat and too ugly to perform as she was. And because of the kind of singing that she did and the kind of songs that she was very good at performing, to a certain extent, it began to be part of her advantage because she would sing just like women of color sang, and then at the end of the program, she would take a glove off and show the audience that she was, in fact, white. Hmm. And they would go, or she would throw in a word of Yiddish here and there, and it would startle the audience because they really, truly believed that she was a black woman. And when either she paid the porter to lose her bags or, in fact, her bags were lost just before curtain time in, I think the story goes, it was here in Boston.
It was in Boston. It was her first performance with the Ziegfeld Follies. And she thought she'd finally made it out of the vaudeville circuit.
Mm-hmm.
And, yes, that she reports, supposedly, that the train lost her bags.
They said, well, you're here. Just go on. And she went on in her whatever she had on that day.
Because the makeup for the blackface was in those supposedly lost
bags.
Yes. So how was she finally received then as Sophie Tucker herself?
She was very well received. They appreciated what she did so much that they allowed her to continue performing that way. And we touch on this in the show a little bit. When she finally gets into the Follies, she actually gets more applause than, say, the big numbers, the big expensive set, and the stars, and the people who are, you know, supposedly the headliners of these shows.
So, Kate, so she was immediately very popular as herself, as you were saying. And how is it that she went from the Ziegfeld Follies end to being sort of this international star?
It wasn't any one sort of overnight success. I think definitely when she was discovered by Flo Ziegfeld, that was a huge step in her career. But she kept every note that she had from someone in the audience. She kept in contact with her audience. She had quite the address book. So if she was going to perform in another town, she would send postcards ahead of time. She started recording. So she was just a really, not just ambitious, but smart, strategic marketer of herself.
And, you know, Mary, you had just mentioned a little earlier that when she was forced to perform in blackface, that every once in a while she would, you know, turn down her gloves so that people could see the tone of the skin of her hand, and also that she would throw in a Yiddish word every now and then. So she never really hid her Jewish background when she was performing.
Oh, not at all. Because when she started out, she did start singing in her family's restaurant, which was a haven for theatrical people and musicians that would come through Hartford. And it's just who they were in the neighborhood. You know, people from the hood. Everybody from here talks like this. So because she identified with her audience and they with her, and when they would hear words they recognized, they loved her even more.
Mm-hmm.
And to go back to what Kate was talking about, she was single-minded in her ambition to become a star.
So much so that she had a son and put her baby son in the care of her parents.
And she was married and had a child at 16. And at 17, she divorced her husband and gave her child to her parents and went to New York, 17 years old, all alone, with no money.
Wow.
She said, well, I'm going to be a star, therefore I'm going to go. I don't think my parents let me go downtown Boston by myself. Never mind get married, have a child, leave my child, and go to New York City to live alone and make it as a star.
Well, you know, we were speaking earlier about how you can hear that, maybe that aplomb and that ambition in her voice and in her singing. So we want to actually get a little bit more of that in the show, the actual singing of Sophie Tucker. Here's one of her songs that actually later goes on to become banned in parts of Europe.
My Yiddish mama, I'd love to kiss that wrinkled brow. I long to hold her hands once more. And ask her to forgive me for things I did that made her cry.
That, of course, is Sophie Tucker singing My Yiddish Mama. She began singing it after her mother died in 1925, and later on Hitler actually banned this song after coming to power in Germany. And we're talking about Sophie Tucker and a new production at Watertown's New Repertory Theater. My guests are Mary Callanan, who plays the lead role in Sophie Tucker, The Last of the Red Hot Mamas, and also Kate Warner. She's artistic director at the New Repertory Theater. And Kate, was Sophie Tucker able to perform that song frequently in the United States?
She did, and is what I was able to find in my research is she performed it quite a bit. And what I read was that it was not always well received when she performed it, but it was the best-selling record she ever had. Huh. So it was something that was so personal. People weren't always so open to hear it as a communal experience, to hear it together performed, but it was something people wanted in their homes to play for themselves.
And Kate, tell me about this production in particular. I mean, we've just had a lovely exploration about who Sophie Tucker is, but I imagine that maybe many people coming to see the production have never even heard of her. So is that a challenge you think you can overcome in the course of
Oh, absolutely. If you're not familiar with Sophie Tucker's work, that's okay. You're going to be able to come and have a good evening. We're going to give you a little insight into who she is. Bette Midler, a lot of her early work was based on Sophie Tucker's character, based on her persona. So I think if you have an appreciation for that kind of humor, and certainly some of the old vaudeville songs, you'll appreciate this very much.
That's very much part of Sophie Tucker's lasting impact on entertainment and on music. You mentioned Bette Midler, and there are other performers who look back on Sophie Tucker as being very influential to how they perform on stage as well.
Well, she really was a pioneer in so many ways, because not only was she a very talented performer, but as Mary was saying, she was so focused so young.
When she would get to a town, she would look up the Jewish retirement communities. She would look up to see if there had been a fire or was there a milk fund. She would try to do benefits, which certainly she, as someone that grew up dirt poor herself, trying to give back to the community, and also it kept her name in the papers.
Mary, do you have a favorite Sophie Tucker song?
Do I have a favorite? I do, actually. There's a song called I'm Living Alone and I Like It. So there. I'm not living alone. And no, Magna, just to stop that question before you even ask it, no, I won't. Why don't you come see the show and I will sing it for you then?
Oh dear.
Look at that.
Okay, well, since I can't tease out a performance from you here on Radio Boston, let's actually listen to a little bit more of Sophie Tucker. Here's a different song. This is Some of These Days.
Some of these days, you're gonna be so lonely. You'll miss my hugging. You're gonna miss my kissing. Oh, you're gonna miss me, honey, when I'm far away. You know, honey, you've always had your way. And when you leave me, you know it's gonna grieve me. Gonna miss your big fat mama, your mama, some of these days.
That's Sophie Tucker singing Some of These Days. Last question to both of you. What do you think her long-term legacy is?
She was the foremother, I guess, of people like Bette Midler, Madonna, Lady Gaga,
Joan Rivers,
Roseanne Barr,
Sarah Silverman. They're not singers, but that kind of being out there and being forward, being ambitious, being funny.
You know, she, whatever moment she was in her career spanned over 45 years. And when she passed in 1966, she had 2 years of bookings ahead of her. And there weren't many people in the 60s that could say that at any age. You know, Elvis or the Beatles maybe, but not everybody else. That is a great testament to her longevity, that she knew to stay ahead of the game. And that's why I'll give it to Madonna, always thinking ahead, but Sophie did it first, and Sophie did it better.
Mary Callanan, who takes center stage as Sophie Tucker in Sophie Tucker, The Last of the Red Hot Mamas, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having us.
And Kate Warner, Artistic Director of the New Repertory Theater and Director of Sophie Tucker, The Last of the Red Hot Mamas, thank you as well for coming today.
Thank you so much.
Just sit back, don't even stand. All you do is raise one hand, wriggle your fingers to and fro. That's the middle-aged mambo.
Sophie Tucker, The Last of the Red Hot Mamas, runs at the New Repertory Theater until July 11th. To learn more, visit our website, wbur.org/Boston. When we come back, we'll talk about some unwanted guests that might have shown up at the World Cup. Viruses. Stay with us. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.
You poke your neck out like a bird. Don't you worry if it looks absurd. Poke it with the rhythm, not too slow. That's the middle-aged mambo. Put them all together, you and me. Follow with the music, do all three. Keep them all a-going.